Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Oh, here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one.
Sorry, I had the Snapchat open. That was playing. You're calling. Chaos.
Now you're recording.
And now I'm recording.
Nice. Anyways, wait, hold on. How was it going,
yes,
dude?
Yes, I am recording. Let me make sure.
Dude, I would have won the World Duck Calling Championship if the judges weren't such pieces of shit.
Oh, my God. Did they just hose you again?
Oh, yeah. You got that right. They did. I deserved every point. I made a mistake, Dale. That's what happened.
No, keep it going. I like this. I can't like this thread going. Keep it going.
You know, if you don't win a contest, you gotta take to the airwaves, to social media, or to any public forum you can, to complain about contests and how they're all fucking stupid.
They're rigged.
You know, it's all political.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
All these people are just in their cliques, and I had a great time. It was a great weekend.
Yeah, let's walk us through it. Bring me there.
It was actually kind of just an in-and-out trip, you know. Flew into Little Rock on Friday morning, and everything went super smoothly. I got upgraded at my rental car location, as I normally do for some reason.
Very nice.
I don't know. I'm just running huge percentages of, like, we don't have that car. We have a full-size truck. Like, oh, thank God.
You're like, what? I want that Geo Tracker I reserved.
You mean you don't have the car I booked, which had a cover over it and said manager's special, and I didn't know even what kind of vehicle I was getting? Great. Okay. Yeah.
I want the Ford Festiva that I put a deposit down on it.
let's see. Then we rolled in, got to our Super 8 hotel in Hazen. Went to the what I've always called the VIP catfish dinner, but I was reminded when I was there, like, they have not had catfish here since like 2017 or 2018. I was like, oh,
it's,
yeah,
still, and the catfish dinner.
I call it the catfish dinner because everybody who qualifies, you get a ticket, like a ticket. You get an invite with one guest, and you can go and have a dinner with everybody, just as a social gathering with all the, you know, just everybody who's involved with the contest. Sure. Yeah, it was a blast. Saw a bunch of old friends, and I even made a couple new ones while I was there. I was talking about hunting with people, and I had one beer and then drove back to the Hazen Super 8 after that. Nowadays, it's actually a catered barbecue.
Ooh.
Dinner. Yeah, which was fire. I still kind of miss the catfish, though, to be honest. It was like the one time of the year that I have catfish ever. Hmm. But all in all, that's for the best. That is not catfish anymore. It's delicious, delicious Memphis-style barbecue.
Ooh,
bunch nice of different sides. And just stuff my belly like Thanksgiving number two. You know, it's the Friday, the day after Thanksgiving.
Boxing Day.
Yeah, so then I
Wait,
went back
right
to Hazen.
No, that's not right. That's the day after Christmas, isn't it? I don't
What's
know.
What's that?
Boxing Day, isn't that Canada?
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's a Canadian holiday. Never mind. Continue.
And then, let's see, got up the next day after I slept for 11 hours and went to Max Prairie Wings, checked out all the sites on Main Street, and then I even just scouted around, went and looked at some mallards and snow geese and blue geese. By the way, lots of mallards in Arkansas.
I bet.
Lots and lots of mallards.
Still waiting on the northern birds to come down.
These mallards must be those southern birds, you know.
Must be the southern birds, yeah.
Just 99.7% of the continental mallard population is southern birds. It's just that 0.3% of the birds that I would say hunters consider to be northern mallards.
Those mallards have probably been there since our early teal season when we blew all the ducks out of the state.
Yeah, I actually saw a lot of ducks down there at Gadwall, and talked to some people who had been hunting. They've been having some fun shooting some birds. And what else? Got in the contest, blew round one. I did freaking really good in round one, dude. I've got a 224, which is a great score. Maybe like the high was like maybe a 227 or a 228.
Ooh, wow, nice.
I know, which still puts me back, you know, like probably in the top 10 with that score, maybe the top 15. So like after that, you know, if I just did really good
just
and
keep
a handful
repeating
of,
that,
if I kept repeating that and, a handful of people made a mistake, that puts you kind of in there, you know what I mean?
And if the judges weren't bought and paid for.
so like, and then, oh, my first round score just, or my first round just went so good. I was like, holy crap, I felt good. I said, you know what, even if I just get to leave here and say I blew that good on stage at World Duck once, I'll be happy with that. Nah, it was good. It was a great routine. And round two probably was even better. Until my very last greeting call I made in the closer segment of the contest, I popped a note.
Oh, no.
I squealed it, and that gets you cut instantaneously.
Oh.
Yep, and there was a flash camera that did go off in my eyes, and I was mad about it for a second, and then I remembered world champion duck callers don't get fazed by flash photography.
That's fair.
That's on me too.
So
I was like, who flashed that camera? Screwed me up. I'm like, why would the, you know,
I'm gonna help
if
you
a,
train.
If a camera's screwing me up, probably don't deserve to win the world championship.
I'll help
today.
You train next year while you're practicing. I'll just like flash cameras, cameras. No, I'm not gonna flash you. A light will flash. Although that might be pretty distracting as well.
And then let's see here. I just got up the next morning, drove to Little Rock, and bounced out. Spent some good time at the Atlanta airport on both my layovers.
You skipped the part where you drank in your sorrows.
I went to the liquor store during my sorrow, and I bought this thing called a TGI Fridays Long Island iced tea, blackberry.
Ooh, sounds fancy.
I like girl drinks because, in general, they're more delicious, right?
More sugar, and worse hangovers. Yeah, continue.
Oh, dude, that's what I was going to say. I felt like shit the next morning, man. I woke up, like, I just bought one of these, like, big cans. You know, I'm not getting fucking wasted or anything. I was like, Raquel, what do you say we have a drink? And so I bought her a TGI Friday margarita. The Blackberry Long Island was better. But I woke up the next day, I looked in the mirror, man, like, for some reason, I had facial hair. My eyes were just my eyes were all glossy. I had bags under them, and I was like, "Man,
see if you drink a man's drink, you get hair in your chest, not on your face." Wait, that doesn't make sense either.
What the fuck? But me and when we made our way to the airport, man, I'm always like packing food for trips, even for airplanes. I'll make like spaghetti. I even had like some pork chop and rice, and I'll put them into vac sealer bags so I can make them nice and flat,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then freeze them and put them in my carry-on. So like we had food for every meal of the trip. So just the whole thing was just like super smooth and easy. Like, we had food anytime we needed food. We had our meals packed. I spent all Thanksgiving cooking just for Stuttgart, like, that trip. Bunch of different meals. We had, like, waffles and eggs and waffles, scrambled eggs and bacon for breakfast. And yeah, it was a good trip.
Nice.
Yep, Matt Rustad was down there as another Minnesota rep.
Yeah, I think I saw something just a little bit ago when I was perusing social medias about him being down there.
So that's kinda cool. I don't know how he did.
I don't know.
But Hayden Richard won the World Duck Calling Championship. Hayden is a really good duck caller from Louisiana.
Congratulations, Hayden. Well done, sir.
Yeah, congrats, Hayden. And second place was Jonathan Seth Morton, another fantastic duck caller. He's from Arkansas, and I followed him in round one. He went right before me. He got a 225, and then I got a 224 right after him.
Wow. We'll see. You're right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm
damn
saying, man.
Lights. Those damn lights.
It's those damn judges.
Yeah.
No, but you know judges. What I'm saying? Like, if you get a score like that and then a few people screw up, you're kind of like right in the runnings of things. Well, I was one of the few people that had it that had screwed up.
Right. You're playing the other role for somebody else to move up.
I was on the wrong side of that coin, you know, like this could go well as long as, you know, some other people don't. As long as some other people screw up, then that person who screws up is you. Like, damn it.
Yeah.
Not my intention.
Well, Minnesota season has come and gone for ducks, that is.
For ducks, yeah. Yeah, it has.
Yep.
Still waiting on those Northern Mariners.
Still waiting on them Northern Mariners. I will say I haven't really seen any bitching yet by Minnesota people at the season. We'll see. This weekend will be the first weekend since the closure, so maybe that's when we'll hear people being pissed off.
The Winter Mallards have for sure arrived in the metro area. They have just been clearing out every bit of corn I put down.
Yeah,
now.
I've seen that.
So I can't remember when the first day that happened was last week. It was either Wednesday or Thursday was my first visitors of Mallards, but I've gone through 100 pounds of corn now.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. And I haven't seen any flakes, but I did stop at the Blaine soccer fields with a pair of binoculars today, like with the warm temps, man. There was probably 2,000 geese out in those soccer fields in Blaine. And I put the binocs on them for, I'm going to say, a solid 20 minutes. And I saw one goose that had a tiny little quill bar across his chest from wing to wing across his belly. And then I saw one goose that had two bands on it. So a double banded goose, which is super, super rare in the metro area. And it was a little too far to definitively say, but it looked like one of them was not a rivet band. So I was like, you know, one of them looked stainless steel and the other one did not look riveted, but I couldn't say that 100%. Either way, rivet band or any other type of double band in the Twin Cities Metro, very rare.
Hmm. Why is that? Explain.
Because the double banded rivet, the rivet geese that are double banded are banded up in like Manitoba and Portage la Prairie, and Winnipeg, Manitoba and Portage la Prairie in that area. And their migration path kind of hugs the western side of the state and then it'll hit the Missouri River and continue south there. But, as far east as Hutchinson is getting like the very eastern border of that particular, those giants, they don't really come further east than Hutchinson. So to see them in Minneapolis is like, whoa.
Yeah, because they get a fair amount of them in Fergus, right?
What's that?
They shoot a fair amount of them in Fergus.
Right.
So that's, yeah. What is the point behind double banding?
What's that?
Why do they put two bands on them?
Well, the rivet band is a study that's looking into loss rates of regular bands. So the rivet band is a control. So the band is riveted on, and they had a feeling that bands were either being taken off by park snatchers or they were falling off naturally. And they're not wrong, but I think they wanted to get so just better data on how many of them are getting lost, with the assumption that the rivet band will never get lost. So if you're starting to get reports, you know, so many years down the line of birds that have only a rivet band on it, you can start to get like percentages, like after this many years, this is the percentage of regular bands that are falling off.
Okay, that makes sense. All right. Yeah, honestly, I was unaware of why they were doing the double.
And some of the double bands are made of like a stainless steel material. It's either stainless steel or another material called Manel. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But they've also done studies, similar studies of double banding, I think ringnecks or bluebills, one of the two. And they were putting a stainless band on and an aluminum band. And they're seeing not only did the stainless bands would stay on, but also how fast do the numbers wear off on a ringneck or a bluebill's aluminum band, because the stainless bands, they never lose their numbers.
Sure, that makes sense.
Can you guess how long the average bluebill or ringneck it takes for them to rub their band smooth? Illegible.
6 years.
Dude, that's right on the fucking money.
Really? Nice.
Yeah, it's like 6 or 7 years.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Hell cool. Yeah.
Good guess.
That is a good guess. Anyways, you going to be doing any hunting coming up here?
Hell no, I'm busy this weekend with at the St. Paul Ice Fishing Show.
Yeah.
So I won't be able to get out, but I would kind of like to. I've got some intel on some areas that are absolutely loaded right now, which if anybody scouts, I'm sure isn't a secret to anybody. You know, I was in North Dakota this past weekend, also not hunting. But on our way back from starting before Fergus and pretty much all the way down the 94 corridor, we saw geese in the air. It was kind of crazy. Like, wow, there's a lot of geese in the area.
Yeah, I'm actually going to get an opportunity to hunt tomorrow morning because I have a funeral in the afternoon. So I will be hunting in the morning just for a couple hours, but it's going to be cloudy and warm. And I'm assuming geese are going to fly. I'm just going to go to a public spot and put a little sound and a little decoys out there.
That'd be pretty sweet. You gotta like midweek hunts. Those are nice when you can pull them off. A little less pressure. And it's just if you're successful and then you can pull some on social media or Snapchat or whatever, you're making everybody else jealous that's at work and it's awesome. it just makes it feel a little sweeter, doesn't it?
Always.
Knowing that other people are working and you're having fun. It's like going somewhere warm for vacation and then seeing on the news there's a blizzard back home. You're like, yes.
Right.
Yeah. I'm so happy you all are miserable. This is great.
And a lot better than like screwing up in World Duck Championship and then looking back at Facebook and everybody's other successful hunts they're having while you're gone.
Yeah, well, I mean, had the judges not have been crooked, you'd hoist in that trophy.
One day I'm going to get that thing, man.
But that's the spirit. Don't squeak next time. You're right there.
I'm 34 now. I've been obsessed with that thing since I was 13. Not looking good, but.
Were you the oldest competitor? Are we to that stage yet?
What's that?
Were you the oldest competitor?
Oh, no.
Oh, well, you're fine then.
Yeah. In fact, I don't know. I guess what's the real question is, who's the oldest winner?
That would be interesting. You should find that out.
Dude, I know Trey Crawford won 4 championships in 4 different decades.
Wow.
Yeah, so he won something in the 70s, one in the 70s, one in the 80s, one in the 90s, and then he was the 2000 champion of champions, because you can only win 3 and then they eliminate you.
That's weird. I remember they were talking about that on the Big Hunger podcast. I was like, that's kind of weird. Like, think if they did that in the NFL. Like, well, Brady, you're out. You already had three. You're done.
Yeah, but the thing is, there's not, you know, millions of people trying to enter duck and goose calling contests. And I think goose calling, I think, well, with duck calling, you get a more strict regime of people getting eliminated. Goose calling is more of a free-for-all. Like, even in duck calling, the way the sanctioning contests work is if I win a contest that's sanctioned by the World Duck Calling Championship, I'm done. I do not compete anymore in sanctioned contests until the next year because I'm going to World Duck Calling Championship, you know?
Huh.
So as you get closer and closer and closer to World Duck, there's fewer and fewer people that are eligible to compete because they've already got their bus ticket. So it kind of makes it, like, it gives people an opportunity. Like, you know what would be cool is if I went down to Stuttgart and had a fun weekend like Nick did and his wife.
Right.
Like, you can actually be like, okay, well, here's the contest I can drive to or fly to. And, you know, which ones can I realistically win? Where if you're a goose caller, there is no regime like that. And any goose caller can show up at any calling contest at any time. And if you want to get into goose calling, I mean, like, all you got to do is sign up and then look around. And then if you see Mike Benjamin, Robbie Iverson, Trevor Shanahan, or let's throw in Forrest Carpenter, you know, you're fucked. You know?
Yeah, well.
Like, if one of those guys show up, you're like, oh, great. I'm not going to get any money out of this.
Today. But, I mean, wasn't there an argument for if they weren't there, like, should you win? You know what I mean? Like, do you want to win by default? I mean, is it like, hey, I won this competition, but really only because so-and-so and so-and-so didn't show up?
I think I want to participate in the culture of it.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to go to contest knowing that it's futile for forever, you know?
Well, it wouldn't be. You just have to be better than they are.
Yeah, that's true. But there's only so many times I'm going to fly somewhere or drive somewhere and then be like, you know, maybe bowling is fun too. Maybe I can get on a bowling team and have a little bit more camaraderie out of that. You know, like, I see it both ways. The goose caller guys, when they get to a level where it's potential that they can win, that's great for them because they can start to make a lot of money because they can keep competing. Duck callers really can't. Like, you get your bus ticket and then you're not competing in any more sanctioned events. Goose callers can go from one to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And you can actually get some serious money if you are flying out and going. I mean, serious money, you might make, you know, $2,000, you know.
yeah, serious money.
It's good. It's decent money. I mean, it honestly could supplement some income. You know, you might be making, but it's very difficult to get to that point where you're competing on that level. And I think there's just a big drop-off rate where guys say, that would be fun. Nah. I don't like losing every time for the next 4 years.
Well,
in the hopes that maybe I get better than some of these complete freaks that are involved in the sport.
Yeah. And, I mean, I'm an outsider looking in. I mean, I don't compete. I'm just looking at it as a, you know,
right.
As like a fan or a, you know, watching a different sport. And it's like, well, but then just get better. I mean, it seems a little bit like nerfing.
You know, there's no – they've got their own culture, too, like that goes to Maryland, to the Easton World Goose Calling Competitions and stuff. And but I think, like, when you're – like what I just described, the catfish dinner and, you know, the whole pageantry of Stuttgart and having all these people from – and you really do have – representatives from across the entire country. You know, when you're sitting back in a bullpen and at World Duck, you're like, where are you from? Like, I'm from Vermont. Like, holy shit.
That's
and
cool.
You know, California, and like you can really meet some cool people. And
So you,
I don't know.
You don't think it would be that way if somebody could just continue winning, if they were good enough to continue winning?
I do. It is, but it's different. I guess I'm probably just explaining this as in a perspective of a guy that has always preferred competitive duck calling. So I'm going to find a way to justify my enjoyment, right?
Sure.
Like I've just always been a competitive duck caller, and I just get more enjoyment out of that, and I'm better at it. So I'm probably just like justifying it, but like I would say either one, if anybody really wanted to get into it and be like, I really want to experience the culture and the camaraderie and all that when it comes to either duck or goose calling, absolutely, probably completely even, you are going to find that enjoyment and that camaraderie, and you're going to meet people from all over the world that share your passion for duck calling, goose calling, hunting. Next thing you know, you'll be flying out, not just for calling contests, but to hunt with the people you've met at calling contests.
Right, yeah.
So I guess I'm probably explaining this in a way just from a guy that likes duck calling contests more, but I would never just, if somebody's like, God, I don't know, I kind of like goose calling more, do you think I should get into duck calling? Be like, fuck no, do goose calling, man. That's whatever you like, if you really want to get into the contest scene, man, go for it. Cause nothing has made my calling better, faster than competing. Like, cause you get your mm-hmm. butt handed to you and you're like, well, I'd really like to not have that happen again.
Yeah.
You go home and practice. And then, you know, just all the people you meet. Like, it's I've said it before many times. There's no other activity I've ever participated in that has enhanced my waterfowl lifestyle more than competition calling.
I can definitely
not
see
even
that.
This podcast.
Yeah. Well, that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
I can see that though. I mean that makes a lot of sense to me. Anyways, it's. Since I've been talking to, you know, like you and Joe and other people, you know, and Goose, like every time I talk to you, you guys talk about it so passionately, like it makes me want to try it, but then I have to slap myself in the face and go, yeah, because you have so much extra time on your hands to pick up another endeavor.
Dude,
yeah,
honestly, it's hard for me to get on stage, even after all these years. Like, it's fucking nerve-wracking, and there's some mad respect for anybody at any skill level, no matter how experienced, if they get on stage and try it. Like, even for me, like, I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, like,
yeah.
It takes a set of nuts to go up on stage. Even if there's like three people's girlfriends and one very confused concession person, like at this event, and you're just like blowing a goose call, you know, it's just nerve-wracking.
I don't think I would have a problem with that. I mean, I've been on a stage of some sort most of my life.
Okay.
I don't know that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it would be super nerve-wracking. About the only time I get nervous performing is if I have to sing at a wedding, because it's like you get one chance. there's no takes. Everybody's recording this. Like, you're just hyper aware of, like, you don't fuck up. And then anytime I've ever sang the national anthem, same thing. It's like, oh God, just don't be that person that forgets the lyrics to this song. <It's just> like, and it's a relatively difficult song actually to sing vocally, so if you don't start out at the right key, you're not going to be able to hit one of those notes, and that's going to be embarrassing. So those two things, and just for whatever reason, I do get nervous for those two things, but I don't think I'd be nervous. I know that I don't have the time to put in the practice that it would take for me to even remotely go on stage and not have everybody look at me and go, why did this guy enter?
Well, there is a little bit of that.
Like, 12-year-old is better.
There's some of that, you know, like, why is this guy even competing? But then you know, hey, if it's not for guys that are just trying for their first time, then then we don't have a thing here, guys.
Sure. Yeah. No, and I get that too. Like, and I agree. Anybody that has, you know, the salt and the seeds enough to get up there and give it a shot, you know, good on you for sure. You've already taken a step. You know, you've already put yourself in an upper echelon just by doing that. You know, unfortunately, I'm competitive enough. I'm very competitive that I wouldn't even want to step on the stage unless I thought I had a moderate chance to at least finish like middle of the pack. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't want to just go up there and be like, "Hey, I think I'm gonna try this. I haven't blown my goose call in 3 years." You know?
Yeah, I think there's if there's like, "Hey, will you be in this contest? We just want to have another guy in it." And you get a guy like, "Yeah, let me get a goose call."
Right.
All right, that's a little bit different than the guy who's knew about the contest from like social media for like, let's just say 6 weeks, and he's like, "I think I'm gonna do it," and then he starts practicing.
Yeah,
and then he really sucks. I mean, he does not sound good at all. But somehow this psychopath convinces himself like, "I might be able to get third place in this thing," and shows up, gets cut immediately because he's terrible. Like, that guy right there has earned so much respect from me.
Right. Yeah. No, it's fair. Like, that's, he did it.
And that's
at least
the type of guy that like walks away and they're like, "That was humiliating. Like, I really can't believe I convinced myself that I actually had a chance. And I know now when I go home, I'm going to start practicing the moment I walk through my front door." And then that's the dude that you see like the next year and you're like, "Jesus Christ, are you really like on our level now? Like, you were a fucking dweeb last year that had no business being in this bullpen, and now you're actually threatening the first place prize from me." Like,
and now you're
I've been around a long time. I've seen those guys, you know, like where they show up, they're like, you know, like, "I've been practicing for this," and then you listen to him, you're like, "You're god awful." And then you see him 3 months later, you're like, "You're pretty good." And then you see him the next year and you're like, "I wish this guy would quit."
I never should have gave this guy lessons. Son of a bitch.
I never should have given this guy encouragement, because now he's doing really, really good. And you know, it depends. Sometimes it's a slow progression. I'd say mine is like more slow and steady. After I won the Minnesota State, it was like 5 years before I won my first regional. Because I had done the Minnesota State 3 times, and then, you know, I couldn't get on that next level as a slow progression. But some guys just rocket ship right to the top.
Wow.
And that's kind of fun.
Because it makes sense, like anything, you know, some people are naturally gifted, and then some people are just psychopaths that train really hard. You know, they become obsessed with it, and that's all they do. I've known a couple of guitar players like that, where, you know, guys never play guitar, picks it up and he can just pretty much play it, and you're like, "That's not fair." And then I know other people that, you know, they have enough natural talent to, you know, strum a little bit and do whatever, and then they make up their mind like, "No, I need to really get better at this," and that's all they do, you know, literally playing till their fingers bleed. And then you hear them the next year and you're like, "When did you learn how to do that?" And it's like,
right,
it's, they've done nothing else since, you know. It's like, it's some people are just that dedicated,
right?
And I'm sure there's a wide range of everybody that fits in between that.
All right,
spectrum,
man, well,
as they say.
I think I'm gonna go to bed. I'm gonna wake up at 4. I'm gonna hit the gym, hit the sauna, and then I'm going to go goose hunting.
Right. That sounds like a day, or a good start to a day anyways.
Yep. But anyways, let's thank the sponsors.
Do we still have some? You still have some Boss Ammo left?
Boss Ammo, I still got some Boss Ammo. They're still a sponsor.
All right, sweet.
And then let's see who else. Nobody. We've got no other sponsors.
We've got no fake sponsors this week. Did you fly Delta?
You know, maybe we should try to find some real sponsors at some point during this whole thing.
I mean, it might not be the worst idea.
You know, we could make like a media package thing that we could like advertise to potential Waterfall Wednesday sponsors. Like, for X amount of dollars, you can make Nick J say this.
He has to. It'll be like the Ron Burgundy The media package. He won't see it. He'll have to read it live. One take, and you can for X amount of dollars, you can have Nick J say anything. And we might be onto something there. This actually might work.
Let's see. Fake sponsor.
Did you fly Delta? Who'd you fly with?
I flew Delta.
So thank you, Delta, for sponsoring.
Hey, I had a thought about flying on airplanes, though, just before we leave. Just a quick Nick J anecdote that I thought of. I was on the plane, and a baby started screaming behind me.
Boy, Dad.
Oh, fucking A. Dude, it's the worst. And
the
then it,
worst.
And then it hit me. Vaccine mandates, dude. If we had vaccine mandates for domestic airfare, there wouldn't be any kids on planes. I was like, oh, dude, kids can't get vaccinated. So if we all just
they're pushing, they're trying to
change
that.
We need a vaccine mandate on airfare. Boom, no more children. Dude, you know what? Why not just vaccine mandate the world? And then we can finally enjoy things without children in them. Planes, restaurants, buses.
Wherever, just as long as Nick J is not inconvenienced, it makes sense.
All right. Well, anyways, how about a fake sponsor that actually is a good cause? Ducks Unlimited and Delta Waterfowl, we're proud to bring you the Waterfowl Wednesday episode.
Perfect. I can live with that.
And if you got $35 to buy a couple cases of beer this month, you got $35 to give to DU and Delta Waterfowl and get some sweet magazines out of the deal.
Sweet mags.
Dude, if people always ask me, where do you learn all this shit that you post on your social media about ducks and geese? Like, literally like 70% of it from Ducks Unlimited, Delta Waterfowl, and Wildfowl Magazine.
Dude, I love Wildfowl Magazine.
I love all of them, dude. They got great articles, great facts. I'm just sitting here actually reading one
good
now, the latest DU magazine. Totally worth the membership just to get these mags.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
All right, dude. Well, anyways, have yourself a good week.
You too. Good luck tomorrow. All right.
Later. Bye.
Join Captain Justin Leake and Meredith McCord for the best fishing action along Panama City Beach. Tune in to Chasing the Sun every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.